listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hope you're not full. I hope you have got room in your stomach, have room in your stomach, whatever the case may be, for some more football information. It has gone on for days after days after days, but we are here to provide you some more. It's been 3 glorious days of football action, and we hope to make it 4 in a row as Week 12 continues in the National Football League. Sure, you probably stuffed your face on Thursday, but there was time to regroup Friday and also time to regroup on Saturday to get ready for today, because it is a big day for a bunch of teams in the National Football League. It's also a big day for you in fantasy football, and there was one man who has stuffed himself with knowledge and tidbits, so much so that they'll just be pouring out over the next 2 hours. Left and right, here and there and everywhere, he's got the information that will make you a winner in your fantasy football league or even daily fantasy contest. 12 games to go. He may even deliver you a baker's dozen. He's got so much to offer. From this, that, and everything else, he is the one, he is the only on this Thanksgiving weekend. He is Mike Harmon.
Yeah, buddy, we're back and ready to go. College football dominant yesterday. Boy, we could do like 9 hours on those games. You're celebrating your Buckeyes victory and beatdown of Jim Harbaugh and those Michigan Wolverines, setting up the date in Indianapolis against my beloved Northwestern Wildcats a week from now. Are we road tripping, Dan?
Probably not, but we'll talk about it probably next week at this time.
Yeah, it'll be fun. But yeah, the idea being we're at the end of a long weekend with a ton of sports action, and no matter what you follow, from auto racing to the match to college football, the NFL, NBA, we certainly had a ton. The NHL giving you some thrillers as well. And I have information coming out the pores, just like the garlic, you know, when you have a bunch of garlic and you start sweating.
Sure.
And you have that, you know, because you added a bunch to the mashed potatoes, and you say, how about some more over here? And before you know it, you know, you're just feeling a little bit off. But the bottom line is we've got a lot of information for you today. I know the slate on its surface doesn't look appealing. There's a number of matchups that over-unders are low. You've got some injury issues that are decimating teams. We're also in that part of the schedule where you got a little bit of a tank job. And maybe, quite frankly, for your fantasy purposes, you're so sucked into shopping and everything else and family responsibilities, and you're looking at your 500 fantasy team and you're throwing in the white towel. I say no. We'll get you over the hump.
Well, don't be that person who is a front runner and just says, oh, just because the Chiefs and Rams aren't playing and the Saints have already played on Thursday night, as have the Dallas Cowboys, that you're not going to worry. And Chicago Bears. You're not going to worry about the other schedule, the other matchups in the National Football League. There are a bunch of games that will have playoff implications, as now we are in that final third of the NFL regular season. So even though maybe the betting lines and those numbers don't seem as appealing, you've got wild card implications in the NFC between the Seahawks and Panthers. You've got the Packers and Vikings playing Sunday night football, where Green Bay, I mean, another loss. You try to keep on giving them lives and lives and lives. Pretty soon the nine lives have to run out. And a loss to Minnesota would be detrimental to the max for the Green Bay Packers and their playoff hopes. So that's tonight. You got Titans and Texans on Monday night. Steelers, Broncos, I don't care what you say. Pittsburgh going on the road to Denver. Denver playing a little bit better football. Interesting matchups that we've got. They may not be the biggest ones on the marquee, but they will definitely have a say in the playoff hunt.
It's funny, that Pittsburgh-Denver game is one that I've been kind of banging the drum for all week. You know, the Seattle-Carolina game certainly stands out. Green Bay, Minnesota, the Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy. It was a little bit this morning, you know, where Mike McCarthy and the lookalike Dan Beyer started making its round on Twitter. You know, people could like to compare you to the now embattled Green Bay coach.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This is Fox Football Fantasy, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit Geico.com for a free rate quote. Before we get to the hot plays and cold sores and the mystery man of Week 12 in the National Football League, do want to bring you the breaking news that we had about 15 minutes ago, the San Francisco 49ers releasing Reuben Foster after he was arrested at the team hotel last night in Tampa on charges of domestic violence. This isn't the first time that Foster has been dealing with a domestic violence incident. The first time around that we heard about this, we found out that the charges were made up. This time around, don't know if they were made up or not. There are reports. Alex Marvez, just previously with Andy Furman and Brian Noe here on Fox Sports Radio, said they believe that the same woman was maybe involved in the incident last night that was also accused Foster of the domestic violence cases that ended up being false earlier. This is a situation that is developing, but a developing one for Reuben Foster because he's no longer the 49ers problem, released by the team just minutes ago.
Statement from the Tampa police say Foster and the female victim been involved in an on-again, off-again relationship for over 3 years. They were in a verbal altercation Saturday when he, quote, slapped the phone out of her hand, pushed her in the chest area, and slapped her with an open hand on the left side of her face. Officers observed a one-inch scratch on the victim's left collarbone. That is the statement. Obviously, as this news started to break overnight of this incident, the backlash was swift, given some of the very strong statements by San Francisco 49ers personnel as related to domestic abuse altercations and such statements coming forward. So they acted swiftly. Whatever the veracity is, we'll wait to see how it plays out in the court system. But, you know, from a football perspective, this is a first-round pick a year ago. Remember how much everybody patted the 49ers on the back for their draft acumen and the trades and everything else? I remind you, from a purely football perspective for the moment, this guy is now released. He was the back end of the first-round draft pick, the third-round pick that they acquired from the Bears in the Mitchell Trubisky trade, eventually got shuffled off, and they went and found the Saints got Alvin Kamara out of the deal. So there's been a little bit of shuffle. Now, they did get Breida as an undrafted free agent, but certainly here, two incidences in less than a year, enough to have the 49ers say goodbye.
I'll just say this on the matter. Listen, Reuben Foster has not gone through, there's not a full investigation, and I'm not claiming his innocence at all. What I am saying is this, is you've got to be smarter. Whether if you're Reuben Foster, and if this situation that happened previously, and I apologize, I don't have the original date, I believe it was in 2017, mm-hmm. but this originally happened, you have got to be smarter to realize, you've got to be more intelligent, figure out, I can't have these people in my life. And it unfortunately... And I know that there's other circumstances, but just as we sit there and look at this, so you could say, well, she already did this once. Doesn't matter. Like, you've got to, you know what? Time to move on. Time to figure out something else and do something different. So the 49ers had every right to do what they did. Whether he's innocent or guilty, that they had had enough and they had seen enough about his decision-making. And I'm not even – we didn't
no, there's
even
other
talk
stuff,
about the,
right?
Yeah,
he's suspended from marijuana. You got gun charges and 2 years probation, so he can't possess guns. He failed the drug test at the combine. I mean, all over the place. It's just enough to where the 49ers say, even if he's cleared this time about, there's still way too much for what he contributes.
And it was in February where the initial account is. The point being is, you can try to give Reuben Foster any benefit of the doubt that you want, and the 49ers are still justified in doing what they're doing. That's the message that I'm trying to convey, and it's nothing about the potential victim, who we still, you know, don't know everything that went on. We hope that the potential victim is all right and safe and okay. The point being, for a football decision, you could sit there and say, well, maybe they should let the process play through. No, it's done. It's done. They gave him the benefit of the doubt. They kept him around the first time. You have to realize if all of this was false, then Reuben Foster should have made better decisions on who he hangs out with and who he hangs around with, let alone all the other possible abilities that we don't necessarily know that could be about Reuben Foster. We'll leave it at that. Let's get to the hot plays of Week 12 in the National Football League. Guys, you got to get in your lineup. No Rams and Chiefs this week. They are on bye, although they scored enough points Monday to provide enough scoring for 2 weeks for some teams in the NFL. Let's get to the hot plays for Week 12.
Hot plays.
Getting live betting, that still hit the over. Went over the 103.5. How about this, Jameis Winston against those 49ers? Why don't we just keep going at it? Well, obviously they don't have Foster playing on the defensive front, but they've allowed multiple touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks in 8 of 10 games. Let's get Winston in. Let's get Cameron Brate in. No O.J. Howard on injured reserve. Opportunity for Brate to step up. I do like, I just need to make a side note, at Fox Sports Radio, pumping out all our different picks and everything. The last two tweets about football, home and road versions of Adam Thielen spinning the football. I love it. As we go, Eli Manning against Philadelphia. Much been made over the course of the night between Jonas Knox from Brian and Andy on to us. There's nobody playing in the Eagles secondary. They're signing people off the street. So you've got four straight opponents finishing inside the top 12 in terms of fantasy quarterbacks. Injuries everywhere, wide receivers dressed up as defensive backs, you name it, it's a mess. We go back to the San Francisco-Tampa game. Well, Tampa's just terrible. 25 touchdown passes allowed, one interception on the year, over 23 fantasy points per game. So, Nick Mullins, step right up. But Ooh. Here's the fun thing. No Marquise Goodwin. We hope his family's okay. We hope he's all right. He's left the team for personal reasons. No further details have been put forth, but he left Tampa yesterday, and you have also Pierre Garçon is unavailable. So you want to get a little bit crazy? The Bourne identity. Kendrick Bourne steps in for you. He's played pretty well for them, 7 for 71 a few weeks ago against Arizona. He'll have to step it up here. We've got Nick Chubb against Cincinnati, one of the plays of the week. Cincinnati giving up 26.5 fantasy points per game to opposing running back tandems, however the teams play it out. You look at it, 18 or more touches in four straight games, touchdowns in three of those four with at least 80 rushing yards. Sign me up. Baker Mayfield, also his quarterback's completing 75% of his passes, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception since Kitchens took over, and he gets to flip Hugh Jackson off repeatedly today. Yeah, sign me up. By the way, Jason Lockenfora, another report coming out. Hugh Jackson not necessarily out of the mix should the Bengals move on from Marvin Lewis. I raised this possibility a couple of weeks ago when Jackson was hired. The fact that it's now becoming a bigger report just scares me. Josh Adams against the New York Giants. 10 touches, 72 total yards. Looking at it last week with the touchdown and the Giants 100-plus allowed in eight times, 14 touchdowns to running backs this year. Sony Michel going up in that matchup against the Jets. They're giving up 4.6 yards per carry. And DJ Moore in that game against Seattle. Look for him to use his physicality to break free.
Those are the hot plays. We're going to get a mystery man clue in about 7 minutes or so, but let's get to the other side of the coin. The guys that you got to stay away from, that you don't want to see, you don't want to touch, they are your
cold sores
for Week 12.
Andy Dalton started the season with 4 straight multi-touchdown games. He's alternated ever since. Demarius Randall said, if A.J. Green doesn't play, we're going to whip him. I'll clean it up because it's Sunday morning and church time. But the fact that that's the worst guarantee I've ever heard an NFL player make. I'm just throwing it out there. But you're looking at a Cleveland team just giving up 17 fantasy points per game, 16 touchdowns, 13 picks. The last 300-yard game for Andy Dalton came in Week 4, which is why I hammered back on Week 4. He's only gone once over 250 since. Derek Carr against Baltimore, you probably weren't starting him, but maybe after the 2 touchdowns against Arizona, you say, hey, cool. No, not so fast. You're looking at 29 sacks, tied for 12th in the National Football League, our Baltimore, and Derek Carr hasn't topped 250 passing yards since Week 5. Scoreless, 3 of his last 5. No, there's still Operation Shutdown. Jared Cook snaps and his targets decreasing week over week. Marcus Mariota, he's cleared from the next stinger, but still going up against Houston, 5th best against opposing quarterbacks, 28 sacks, 9 touchdowns. You know, you're looking at 15.3 fantasy points per game. LeSean McCoy against Jacksonville, they're fifth best against opposing runners. He had his best game of the year last time out, and I know Jacksonville's been susceptible to getting beat by the opposing passers. Five straight games where the quarterbacks have finished as top seven fantasy scorers. LeSean McCoy only throws the ball occasionally, so we leave him out. Cautionary tales here at the quarterback position. Strange bedfellows here in Week 12. Cam Newton against Seattle, they're third best against opposing quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers has had some bad efforts against Mike Zimmer-led teams. You look at the body language. We talk about the issues with McCarthy. They don't run the ball effectively, and the secondary receivers could be erased by Minnesota's secondary. And then Phillip Rivers against Arizona. Quietly, the second-best fantasy team against quarterbacks. And Phillip, even if he goes for his 230 and two, that's still only getting you a mid-two quarterback two play.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This is Fox Football Fantasy. Those are your hot plays and cold sores for Week 12 in the National Football League. Coming up, Mike mentioned it, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers make a visit to the Twin Cities, and that could be good news for one Kirk Cousins. We'll tell you why next year on Fox Football Fantasy. Fox Football Fantasy in Week 12 in the National Football League. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. You can always listen to the show on the iHeartRadio app at SiriusXM Channel 83, and if you happen to miss it, maybe you just got up late, you missed Mike Harmon's hot plays. Don't worry, they're coming up again in 37 minutes. Or you can even, just after the show, go to iTunes, subscribe to Fox Sports Radio Weekends, and download the show every single week. It's as simple as that. Week 12 is here. We mentioned there are a bunch of games that will have some playoff implications, including one in the NFC North. You mentioned the Green Bay Packers and maybe the issues that they have on offense, even with one Aaron Rodgers. And I'm looking on the other side of the ball with the Minnesota Vikings, at least when they have possession. You got Green Bay, who could have Mike Daniels lost for the season. Nick Perry was placed on injured reserve. It's a defense that is still young on the back end. They've got players, and I think in time they will be really good at that spot, Mike, but this is a Packers defense that hasn't been stout and now is wounded and may be some good medicine for a Minnesota Vikings offense that needs to get back on track.
Well, you've had other members of that back seven in and out of the lineup, right? Blake Martinez has had a great year when he's been available, but he's been banged up a little bit. Clay Matthews, been hit or miss, right? Mm-hmm. There's been some games where he's been some shades of the Clay Matthews you remember, and others where he's disappeared. And the only thing they mention is towards the end of like, wow, we didn't really talk about Clay Matthews very much. But for Minnesota, Dalvin Cook finally back and taking on, at least in theory, a little bit bigger role these last couple of weeks. 10 for 89 against the Lions. The Bears, obviously, that was a whole different ball game last Sunday night. So you look to rally here, perhaps get him in the passing game a little bit more. Thielen and Diggs doing their things on the outside. But for Kirk Cousins, you know, it's one of those watershed moments. I hate to, you know, pile on what's certainly been a week of analysis of big games and big spots, but for Kirk Cousins, some fantastic numbers overall, but there are those glitches, right? It's that I went and saw Wreck-It Ralph, Wrecks the Internet yesterday, uh-huh. and it's all about Vanellope and the glitch. Well, Kirk Cousins has the glitch, which means the ball's laying on the carpet in an inopportune time, or there's I don't see Eddie Jackson. Somehow Eddie Jackson, like, just disappears.
Sure.
And quarterbacks in the NFC North suddenly, hey, there he is, and he's running the other way. So you have the opportunity there. For Aaron Rodgers, he's been hit or miss against Mike Zimmer-led defenses, and finally the Minnesota defense is healthy. They hadn't been healthy for the first 8 weeks, and now all of a sudden you're starting to see shades of what they could be, even in that game against Chicago. If those guys could catch, I guess that's why they're defensive backs and not wide receivers. But there were opportunities left on the floor, a cutting room floor there, to make big plays and impactful plays. And here against Green Bay, where you don't have anybody but Davante Adams that scares you in your offense. They don't use Aaron Jones. I don't know what personal beef someone's got there.
They've started. There have been flashes. But, yeah, for what they should be doing when you see what other – workhorse running backs around the NFL do, Aaron Jones isn't getting that sort of commitment from his head coach.
Maybe set up a play action pass now and again. I mean, yeah. and free up one of these secondary receivers. They may have Jimmy Graham, the thumb injury that was thought that it would be potentially season ending. There is a chance that he's going to give it a go tonight. The latest report positive that they'll at least get some reps out of him.
The Green Bay Packers have the fourth fewest amount of rushing attempts in the National Football League this season. The Minnesota Vikings have the third fewest. So it's only the Giants and Bengals that have run the ball less than those two teams. And we mentioned it last week heading into that Sunday night game against the Bears. This was the first time in a while where the Vikings had Dalvin Cook, Stephon Diggs, and Adam Thielen all healthy. And it goes back to Kirk Cousins. And Mike, I understand that you make a commitment financially to a player. There's also the cost of doing business angle. But I'm sorry. I know we're coming off of a week where the Rams and Chiefs scored 105 points in the third highest scoring game in the NFL, and everyone wants to make their snap judgments. To win, and to win in the NFL and to win in the playoffs, you have to run the ball and play some defense, and they're usually in concert. And the Minnesota Vikings, who we thought had one of the better defenses in the National Football League, have not gotten a lot of help from their running game. I think it's about time that Minnesota ends up at least making a commitment. Even if you're running headfirst into a wall, at least you tried. At least there's some time coming off that clock. But now is the time for Minnesota to at least try to make a commitment and get something going. And it's a big deal. It's the final third of the NFL season. This is now where, all right, everything counts a little bit more. And I think Minnesota needs to get it going tonight.
We'll just go back to Latavius Murray as the sole running back all those weeks that Cook was injured. He only had one game where he had more than 15 carries.
Yeah.
One game. That was a 27-17 win over Arizona all the way back in week six. Otherwise, you know, even during that four-game stretch where he piled up five touchdowns, mm-hmm. I should say, you know, you're looking at carry counts of 11, 24, 15, 13, and 10. Commit to running the football. Latavius Murray's a pretty good two-way back, had multiple receptions in all those games. But while that defense was getting healthy, right, you had multiple injuries in your secondary. Some of the guys up front were banged up. Barr was out for a couple games. He returns tonight. You should have been trying to at least buy them a few more breathers on the sidelines. And as you say, run some clock, extend possessions, and we'll be curious. I mean, it's been all through Kirk Cousins, and at times he's been brilliant. But throwing the ball 40 times a game, there's very few quarterbacks that pull that off.
Seahawks and Panthers are playing in Charlotte this afternoon. That's a 1 o'clock Eastern time start in Week 12. I bring up the Seahawks because they're a team that is 5-5 and hoping to make a push for a wild card. They're second in the National Football League in rushing attempts. By the way, here are your top six teams in the NFL in rushing attempts.
Now, this could have been a good feud question.
This could have been, and there are some teams that have played more games than others, but Saints, Seahawks, Rams, Bears, Texans, and Dallas. And I know that some of the teams are good enough where you're like, well, they were so far ahead, they ended up running the football. I get that. But you also look at some of the other teams that are maybe not in that case where they weren't blowing teams out, like a Dallas, like a Houston. Like, those teams are running the football, and you get that with success. So the Seahawks go to Charlotte today to take on the Panthers, and the Seahawks bringing that running game with the second most carries in the National Football League and likely to retake the lead after this week when they face the Panthers.
I would say just a caveat to that was the fact that the Saints appear. Remember, Mark Ingram was suspended for mm-hmm. the first 4 weeks. So, like, you're not even looking at the sledgehammer between the tackles, and they're still running the ball that effectively and that often just making sure that they do have that flexibility in their offense. But what's curious for this week is which guy do you pick out of the Seattle running back by committee approach? And that's the hard thing, right? So from a rankings perspective, when I go and I sit down and I'm reordering, it's hard to pull one out, right? Carson's been very effective when given the heavy workload, but you look at Mike Davis, and part of it is also you're strategizing if you can mix and match, add Rashad Penny in with Rashad Penny with what he's done with some of the big play capability. You're also looking at the long term. You got weather changes coming up. You've got to slug it out, and if you get to the playoffs, going back to your point, defense and your running game are going to decide whether you go anywhere if you're Seattle.
Yeah, we saw it in the Thursday night game in Week 11 against the Packers. There seemed to be a little bit of a change up in what Seattle was doing, and I actually think it's the way that they're going to proceed with their backfield. So if you have Chris Carson, if you had Rashad Penny or Mike Davis, Carson's the lead back. Penny comes in, not even as a change of pace, but maybe a guy who it's going to be him and Carson during most of the game. Mike Davis, short yardage, end of the game, running it down. That's how I think it's going to play out, barring an injury. But that's how I think Seattle is going to use their backfield, because we saw Penny kind of tweaked his ankle on a play, but had a big 40-yard play against the Packers. They want that explosive those explosive plays as well, along with Chris Carson and Mike Davis being the battering ram against the defensive line.
Carson is the lead in the rankings. I've got him at 19 for the week. Penny a few shots behind. Davis, you want to take your shot at your goal line work, as you said. There's still a report that Doug Baldwin, even though he's questionable with the groin, is going to try to play. Still looking at Moore being the guy I'd be pushing down. And looking at David Moore as potentially a daily fantasy play for you if this one decides to open up.
Moore and Moore in the Seahawks-Panthers game.
David Moore and DJ.
Yeah, absolutely. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This is Fox Football Fantasy. Coming up next, so you say it's a down year for Antonio Brown of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, contraire mon frère, my friend. We'll tell you differently after Isaac Lohengrin gives us the latest of what's happening in the National Football League. Hello, Isaac.
Hello, Dan and Michael. The San Francisco 49ers announced this morning that they are releasing linebacker Reuben Foster after he was arrested overnight at the team hotel in Tampa, Florida on a first-degree misdemeanor domestic violence charge. The Athletic reports that Foster just had a hearing with a judge via closed-circuit video and that the judge set bond for Foster at $2,000 and ordered no contact with the victim, who was identified in court as the same woman from Foster's previous domestic violence arrest in April. In college football Saturday night, Texas A&M and 7th-ranked LSU were tied at 72 in a phrase that I don't think I've ever uttered before. Septuple overtime. Andrew Monaco describes what happened next on Learfield.
The snap to Kellen. Kellen rolls to his right. Kellen stops, fires back over the middle. Tie and the conversion. Kendrick Rogers and the Aggies win 74-72 in 7 OTs. Here's your rivalry.
Speaking of rivalries, number 3 Notre Dame won at USC 24-17 to go to 12-0. NBA Saturday night, Kevin Durant a season high 44 and the Warriors win over Sacramento. Golden State's won back-to-back games after a 4-game losing streak. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 34 points, 18 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, and a block in the Bucks' 135-129 win over the San Antonio Spurs. Your thoughts, Coach Pop?
Screw you.
Well, that was to be expected. Dan and Michael, back to you.
I don't know how accurate that is from the post-game, but we may get the point. Thanks, Isaac. This is Fox Football Fantasy, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Steelers are in Denver today to take on the Broncos. Pittsburgh about a field goal favorite in this showdown, but Denver's coming off their big win that they had against the Chargers last week. Steelers coming off of their big win and their comeback victory against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know people are down on Antonio Brown. Fantasy-wise, there are people who took him first overall in their fantasy drafts. The one point that I think you got to hang your hat on, at least with Antonio Brown, tied in the NFL with 11 touchdown receptions so far this season. He and Tyreek Hill, each with 11 apiece. The yardage isn't there, but you see what Juju Smith-Schuster has been able to do. And I'm going to bring it up again. Final third of the season, I still like Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger. I think this could be a nice push for Antonio Brown at the end of the season to make his season, to make fantasy owners much more happier than maybe they were for the first 11 weeks.
Denver's susceptible to big plays the last 3 weeks. They've been giving up chunk yardage to opposing quarterbacks. Ben, top 6 quarterback, 3 straight weeks. You look at Antonio Brown, only 4 games over 90 yards on the year, but as you said, the 11 touchdowns. There's only 1 week he hasn't scored. So it's the Ronco set it and forget it that he's still getting it done. So for this week, we look against Denver. I like Denver to win at home, a narrow game. Look for Case Keenum to push the ball downfield. They're not going to be able to run as well. Lindsey, against this Pittsburgh run defense, they're 9th best against opposing runners on the year for fantasy purposes. And then you also look at the fact that Freeman might take on a little bit more of a workload in his second week back from injury. But this is one for Pittsburgh. You're starting your studs. Remember, James Conner's been a big help in the receiving game as well. So, you know, Antonio Brown has to deal with the at times being just a decoy, especially if they're going to go on a late run here.
I saw a stat this week that Le'Veon Bell had never had a 10-plus touchdown rushing season. Now, we've had, of course, Le'Veon Bell and his great multifaceted affair, but James Conner is that guy. So Le'Veon Bell had 9 touchdowns last year, didn't break double digits. James Conner already has 10. So you're talking about, I know touchdowns are touchdowns, whether you get them rushing or receiving. At least with the Pittsburgh status, James Conner already a better running back in the end zone than Le'Veon Bell ever was for a season.
Committing behind that offensive line, one of the unheralded pieces of that Pittsburgh team is how good that front five is together, right? You get all the credit for all the skill position guys, but that was why it was such a big deal, I thought, during the Le'Veon Bell saga, that a lot of those linemen were speaking out, saying, hey, look, we made this guy, okay?
Yeah.
So they didn't say it explicitly, but read between the lines of all of them piping up of he was supposed to be here. We made each other look good, and those guys wanted to make sure their bonus checks and everything kept flowing as well. James Conner is more than fit the bill.
I was doing some shows with Bucky Brooks of the NFL Network earlier this week over the holidays here on Fox Sports Radio in for Doug and the Doug Gottlieb Show. And I said, I find it interesting that we always knew Dallas had the best offensive line when they did. And I want to say they do now, but we knew that Dallas has the best offensive line in football. And I think that happened with the Philadelphia Eagles maybe last year. But we knew it. I don't know how many people know that Pittsburgh is the best offensive line in the National Football League. Maybe it's starting to come around to that point, but it seemed like we knew about Dallas. We knew about Philadelphia. Maybe we didn't know as much about Pittsburgh. We've always known that they were good. And I don't want to. I'm not trying to say that they came out of nowhere. The point being is just that when we always talked about like the highest and the best of the best, Pittsburgh was always, yeah, Pittsburgh's got a really good offensive line. Now I think that they've ascended to the top of that list, and I'm not sure how many people actually realize that.
Excited to watch that game today. Over-under sitting at 47. Case Keenum and company looking to make some plays. Cortland Sutton, a decent daily fantasy play. You're getting them at a good valuation this week. Fox Football Fantasy is brought to you by Discover Card. Remember, we treat you like you'd treat you.
A little behind on this, so I want to do some bookkeeping. We've got to get our first mystery clue in for week 12. This is where Mike gives you a clue about a player that you should have in your lineup, but we want you to figure it out. The first mystery man clue is
honorable mention, all Big Ten, his only season in the conference.
Oh, interesting. This could be a transfer. This is the mystery man, a guy to get into your lineup for week 12. We'll answer your questions on Twitter. Get Mike over at Swollen Dome. I'm at Dan Beyer on Fox. Just like Trey Thies tweets in, flex play in standard scoring, Duke Johnson or Sterling Shepard? Duke and the Browns against the Bengals, Shepard and the Giants against the Eagles.
Duke getting some decent run week in, week out. We're always looking touches over targets. Well, Duke Johnson's all about targets as well. So I'm actually going to roll the dice here, and I'm going to say Sterling Shepard against that beleaguered, battered Philadelphia secondary that Eli Manning and company get it done.
At Son of a Buck 26, Trust Thies with the tweet. He follows us. That's why he got his tweet answered. Just get Mike at Swollen Dome. I'm at Dan Beyer on Fox. You got to follow us for your tweet to be answered. As simple as that. Coming up next, the Houston Texans have a lot on their plate in a division rival showdown coming up on Monday night. We'll tell you how they deal with it next year on Fox Football Fantasy. Fox Football Fantasy here on Fox Sports Radio. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. It is week 12 of the National Football League season. Monday night, Titans and Texans. Texans playing with a heavy heart. His owner Bob McNair passed away, and they're going to have to face a Titans team that has Marcus Mariota available. Texans come in with a 2-game lead in that AFC South over the Titans and Indianapolis Colts. It's a Monday night affair with the new team in Houston against the old team that used to be from Houston. Something like that, right? That fits.
That's
Titans
it. That's
and Texans,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, and interesting as, you know, we followed the and did the recap on the life of Mr. McNair, obviously in the news for some quotes that may or may not have been taken out of context and applied to a social cause improperly or maybe with a bit of a political slant. But the fact of the matter is you look at the business acumen of what this meant for future NFL dealings when he moved teams and just the mm-hmm. initial purchase as well. But for this particular game, you're looking at Deshaun Watson. They're 6.5-point favorites. This is an over-under of 41, so that's one of the lamentations of the week is that we've got some low totals out there. So trying to find some fantasy heroes is going to be tough. Lamar Miller's a no-go for me, a back-end number two. Based on volume, he's still got to be in your lineup in most leagues, but certainly not anticipating greatness when you're looking at a Tennessee defense that ranks fourth best against opposing running backs for fantasy purposes. We've had a couple of great games for Lamar Miller. He was the subject of the great keep on keeping on quote from Jason Smith as we interviewed him after one of his best games of the year. And look, we try to keep the phrasings of the 70s alive. You know, you're looking at Kiki, might be the guy that you look to other than Demaryius Thomas along the way for the Tennessee side of things. Mariota's going to play despite the neck stinger. Running back position a little bit difficult against Houston. Again, one of those top five teams against running backs for fantasy purposes. But Deion Lewis gets a nod as a back end too. Derrick Henry, it's too inconsistent. I can't trust it. Flex worthy maybe because you're looking at a double-digit touch count. But for Mariota's pass catchers, Davis as a low-end number three, and that's it.
You touched on it when you have Corey Davis coming off that huge win against the Patriots. Still a tough guy to trust. And
that's just it. Yeah, you know, he goes right back into the hole.
And I know Mariota got dinged up, but, yeah, you're thinking, wow, big divisional showdown, and Corey Davis followed up a huge game with another clunker just kind of like he did earlier this season.
Yeah, you go back to that early game against the Texans as they tried to work him in. 5 catches, 55 yards. It's all fine and good, but you're not getting the big downfield mm-hmm. and trying to throw him open because you don't have any other pass catchers that you really have to be fearful of. So the yak, those big opportunities aren't there because you've got a safety that's shadowing him over the top. So it's not like he's running free and clear like when we saw, you know, LSU and all these other games.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This is Fox Sports Radio and Fox Football Fantasy, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Raiders take on the Ravens. Okay, this is a showdown that we've got with Lamar Jackson being the starting quarterback for the second straight week for Baltimore. A Raiders team that comes in. I don't even know if they have healthy wide receivers. I mean, we know that they traded
Jordy
Amari
Nelson's
Cooper.
Coming back.
Hey, Martavis Bryant is out, but Jordy Nelson's been dinged up. Raiders and Ravens, where Baltimore, even with the rookie quarterback, a double-digit favorite, or at least at one point it was, over the Raiders today.
I saw this balloon out to 12.5. Before it was all done. And you're still curious because much of the damage done by Lamar Jackson last week on the ground, as we mentioned, 27 carries. Andrew Siciliano, our buddy, former Fox Sports Radio host and currently, you know, your red zone host for you. If Lamar Jackson rushes for 100 yards today, he'd be the first quarterback with back-to-back 100-yard games on the ground since 1950. So that's a nice little stat for you along the way. Willie Snead was the target leader a week ago, so I will look to him perhaps as a guy if we're going to go daily fantasy or looking for a little push here from the Baltimore offense. It's just too hard to trust any of these pass catchers, even if Oakland's on the other side, because you can't trust Alex Collins. Now we're looking at, you know, a workload split that maybe you try to go and find some value in Edwards.
Gus Edwards. Out of nowhere. Listen, I didn't say his name last week, and all of a sudden, like, Edwards, Gus Edwards, and yeah, running wild as he did a week ago. Oh, they're running wild in the great state of Alabama, and that's where we head right now. The day after the Iron Bowl, B.A. has got a smile on his face. What's up, B.A.? Good morning.
That's all he needs to say, right?
They did.
What's up,
buddy?
They
should have rolled. Yeah, had a great Thanksgiving. Thank you very much. I hope yours was enjoyable.
It was embarrassingly, I don't know why I eat that much. If you cut me, I would probably bleed squash casserole and dressing.
There you go. That's a frightening
anyway, hey,
concept.
Can I guess your mystery man?
Can you guess.
Is it Russell Wilson?
No.
It is not Russell Wilson.
I like the guess, though.
Okay. All right, give me need some help with quarterbacks and running backs.
All right, let's go.
All right, quarterback Aaron Mr. Rodgers or Captain Kirk Cousins, and my running backs, I got five of them. You know, as usual, rank them for me. Derek Roll Tide Henry, Deion Lewis and Clark, Aaron Sugar Jones, Sony Michelle, My Bell, and Duke Blue Devil Johnson Jr. Rank those and tell me about the quarterbacks. And hey, Joe Gibbs is 78 years old today. Y'all have a great holiday, and I'll talk to y'all soon.
Appreciate you, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving.
There you go. We got Michelle, My Bell. I like that one.
Duke Blue Devil Johnson. Simple but funny.
I think we need to sell that one. Let's start making T-shirts. Sony Michelle leading the way for me on the running backs. I got to assume they give the ball to Jones. He's the best of those other four. And then we'll take Lewis third, Henry fourth. Duke's coming up fifth. PPR leagues, perhaps we shuffle them, but we'll keep them straight here. As for the quarterbacks, I'll take Kirk Cousins over Aaron Rodgers tonight.
Ooh, the Sunday night affair going with the Purple Horns over the Gold and Green G. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This is Fox Football Fantasy. Coming up next, is insider information going to do in the Cleveland Browns? We talk about it here on Fox. Looking ahead to a busy Week 12 in the National Football League with three games already in hand, including the Dallas Cowboys with their win on Thanksgiving Day, Mike, and NFL Network saying that the Cowboys plan to extend Dak Prescott this offseason, and also you could see some future cash for one Amari Cooper, as the two have seemed to have been on the same page since his arrival from Oakland.
You see how Jerry Jones was taking a bow during the game on Thursday and immediately talking about, hey, Amari Cooper's playing for his money. And he is, right? He's got one more year left on his deal and trying to shake off what had become, you know, the Oakland Raiders syndrome, I guess we would call it, for wide receivers. Because remember, Randy Moss kind of disappeared for a year. Had a great year.
Yeah.
Had a little bit of a great run in Oakland. Then just as quickly as that star was shining, looked like he didn't want to be there. Looked like he didn't quite care anymore and was looking for greener pastures, gets traded, and all of a sudden, hey, he's resurgent. Amari Cooper, it looks a little bit the same way here, at least for the first couple of weeks of his tenure in Dallas. But for Dak Prescott, someone to push the ball downfield to, you've got the run game jump-started again, that offensive line that for weeks we were wondering, you know, and really crediting Travis Frederick with how big a component he is. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked a lot about offensive lines this morning, but the absence of Frederick due to illness for the first few weeks of the year truly set things back for that Dallas offense. Now they seem like they're clicking, Ezekiel Elliott's running hard, and you've got a good balance to this offense that wasn't there.
What's interesting is the Cowboys obviously traded for Amari Cooper with a first-round pick, and it's something that many, including myself and yourself, I think were critical of.
Sure.
And it's not the fact that this warrants the first-round pick. It still doesn't warrant the first-round pick in my mind, and I know there are arguments that can be made. It's now you've got to pay a wide receiver a high amount of money, and we just don't know. Sure, immediacy and seeing how you're utilizing him makes it look great right now, but in the long term, I still think that maybe you could have done better. The point is this, is we found out from John Lynch speaking locally in San Francisco that the 49ers had made an offer to the Raiders for Khalil Mack, and Lynch felt that his offer was better than one that the Chicago Bears had offered for Mack, but the Raiders just ended up dealing with the Cowboys, or excuse me, dealing with the Bears instead of the 49ers. With the Raiders-Cowboys deal, there was no one that was offering more than a first-round pick, so you don't have to worry about that scenario coming out. But it was just a story that we heard over the weekend, John Lynch saying, hey, we offered more to the Raiders for Mack than, or at least I believe we did, than the Bears did. There may have been some jockeying of positions for how a team would finish, and maybe that's why the Raiders felt the Bears would have been a better pick than the 49ers, and you got the cross-bay situation, but nobody else was offering a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. Goes back to that.
No, and that's exactly it. You know, we could talk about Lynch and the draft the last 2 years and what they've been able to do, but you start thinking about if Jimmy Garoppolo was healthy and at the time, you know, you're kind of going through and connecting the dots of what they thought this season was going to be, and perhaps looking at the Bears saying, those will still be better picks And, well, obviously that's
not going to be the case,
according to plan. But the first-round pick for Cooper, look, people that are saying this is how you justify it, like, well, no, it's jump-started things now, and you have the inside track unless something disastrous happens to win the East now. That's great. Philadelphia's been a bunko team. The Giants, I love the Odell Beckham stealing Pat Fitzgerald's philosophy of go 1-0 today, trying to apply it to the personal and professional life as well. But they're probably not making a run to where they're competing. And you look at the Washington Redskins with Colt McCoy and Mark Sanchez as your duo behind a beleaguered and battered offensive line, probably not going to work. So Dallas taking their shot and making a run. But as you said, there's only one more year left on that deal, and then you've got to pay him what, wide receiver one money?
Yep.
Remember, Sammy Watkins got a $16 million a year deal. And Dallas already is cash-strapped the way that roster is constructed. So part of building going forward for Dak Prescott was going to be, you know, put on the idea that you have to draft really well. And now you're going to extend Prescott and pay him QB1 current rate money and still pay Amari Cooper. What about the other 51 guys? Because Ezekiel Elliott needs to get fed here pretty soon too.
You're gonna have a new offensive line as well, because at some point you're gonna have to. I mean, we've seen the pieces start to be replaced. You mentioned Travis Frederick, Tyron Smith, maybe not the Tyron Smith of old. So at some point you're gonna have to move on there as well. At least they have Zach Martin. At least they've got that.
There you go.
And that's all taken care of. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This is Fox Football Fantasy, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit Geico.com for a free rate quote. Let's get to them. Guys, you got to get in your lineup for Week 12 of the National Football League. They are your
hot plays.
There they are. Let's get to it.
Let's go. Josh Adams against the New York Football Giants. 10 touches, 72 total yards. The touchdown last week, 100-plus games by opposing runners 8 times this year have allowed the Giants total of 14 touchdowns. So even if in the passing game we're still waiting to see things come together, Josh Adams, a guy that we're looking for to jumpstart things. Marlon Mack, sing it.
The return of the Mack.
There it is.
I had to get the. You know, yeah.
I was waiting to hear your neck pop the way you contorted yourself. All right, so 61 and a touchdown against Tennessee, a weak effort at Jacksonville before that. But you're looking at Miami, fourth worst against opposing rushers, giving up nearly 24.5 fantasy points per game. We talked about DJ Moore a little bit earlier, going more and more. David Moore, DJ Moore in that game, Seattle and Carolina. But DJ Moore, an opportunity here to impose a little physical will. I'm not huge in terms of where the total goes. I'm a little nervous that this doesn't open up, because the projections for some have been, these guys are winging it all over the place. I'm not quite so sure about that, but you know DJ Moore is going to see his targets. Greg Olsen, touchdowns in 4 of his last 5 games. Opportunity there. Sony Michel, looking at the opportunity here. The New York Football Giants had a good start against runners. They've been bludgeoned the last 7 weeks. 4.6 yards per carry allowed during that stretch. James White, obviously a back end number one. Michel is going to be a high end number two. We're going to look for them to get after the Josh McCown led New York. Yeah, I know, I said it.
Yep.
The Josh McCown led as Sam Darnold sits once again. Baker Mayfield, how about that? Completing nearly 3/4 of his pass attempts the last 2 weeks. 5 touchdowns, 1 interceptions, with Kitchens calling the shots. And I think there's a little bit of an emphasis here to show Hugh Jackson exactly how badly he mismanaged things, as he'll be on the sideline in the booth, wherever they decide to situate him, and he watches his Cincinnati Bengals getting after it. So I'm going to take Baker Mayfield. I'm going to take Nick Chubb as a must start in all formats. 18 or more touches, 4 straight games, touchdowns in 3 of those 4, at least 80 rushing yards in those 3 games as well. We look at Eli Manning against Philly, 4 straight opponents finishing inside the top 12. You got Beckham, you got Shepard, you got Saquon Barkley doing great things. You got injuries everywhere in that defensive secondary for Philadelphia. So even though we're top 10 against opposing running backs, there's just so much mix and match that Saquon Barkley is a set it and forget it no matter what. Lamar Jackson going up against the Oakland Raiders. Hey, maybe he gets that 100-yard rushing effort again. But you're looking at just from an Oakland ineptitude against runners, be it running backs, quarterbacks, whatever, you're looking at 13. You had 13 straight run plays for the Ravens to start things last week. The Raiders are giving up 6.6 yards per play.
Oh, all right.
So there you go.
Hey, that would be a, I'm doing the math, okay? That's just a 13 straight runs, 6 yards. We'll do that average. 78-yard drive. So they'll start from the 22, run all the way down, and they'll be fine.
I like the way you think. Sixth worst against the running backs. You can hit them via the air. Willie Snead, probably your best option there. Jameis Winston against San Francisco, talking a lot this morning about this situation. Reuben Foster being released. Marquise Goodwin got on a plane and left, personal reasons being cited, not an injury, not disciplinary. So there's a lot going on with San Francisco, not to mention they flew to Tampa and have to play
early game,
there
yeah.
as well in what will be some decent temperatures as well. San Francisco allowing multiple touchdowns in 8 of their 10 games. DeSean Jackson, a back end number 2. Mike Evans, obviously highly thought of here as a top 10 wide receiver for you, and then Cameron Brate slides into fantasy relevance once again. Works well with Winston in general, but no O.J. Howard to steal any of those touches.
You've got 3 West Coast teams flying to the East Coast and playing an early kick today. Seahawks doing so against the Panthers, 49ers and Buccaneers, as you mentioned, and Raiders and Ravens in Baltimore today. Those are your hot plays for Week 12 in the National Football League. Let's get to the other side of things. Yeah, don't want to touch them. Don't want to see them. They are your
cold sores
for week 12.
Let's go, because I got to go a little hot take theater to get you started.
All right.
Aaron Rodgers tonight. He's a back end number 1, high end number 2. Not normally in his lofty top 5. We're all feeling warm and fuzzy about it. You're looking at a Minnesota team. Pass rush is finally back. They're finally healthy. And Anthony Barr will return as well. 10th best against opposing quarterbacks, even with all the issues they've had, just giving up 16 fantasy points per game this year. So looking for an opportunity here. And we look at Rodgers against Mike Zimmer. Zimmer's had his number, where you've had some minuscule efforts, maybe a multiple touchdown, but you're looking at like 210 and 2, 201 and 2, and then a few one-touchdown games in there. It's an opportunity to find another hero in your lineup. Phillip Rivers against Arizona, they're second best against fantasy quarterbacks as well. So even though he's been feasting for the most part, looking at multiple touchdowns, he's more been a he doesn't kill you. The floor has been a bit higher, but the ceiling not necessarily there. Melvin Gordon will play in this game after some concern midweek, but he's ready to go. D.D. Westbrook disappeared the last 2 weeks since Leonard Fournette came back to the lineup for Jacksonville. Not that you're trusting Blake Bortles options necessarily, but Westbrook had started getting a little bit of a groundswell of support. Buffalo best against opposing wide receivers, shut him down. Back to Philly, New York. We kept waiting to see Golden Tate, and while his snap count went up, and he led the team in targets in that blowout loss to the Saints last week. 5 catches, 48 yards. Still haven't quite figured out what to do with him. He's out for me. Lamar Miller against Tennessee. A couple of big games a few weeks ago. Tennessee 4th best against opposing rushers. No thank you. We look at Derek Carr against Baltimore. Not that you're necessarily considering Derek Carr, but even in a 2QB league, I think I might go the other way based on the defensive prowess of the Ravens. They're also a solid DFS play for you this week when you're looking at the operation shutdown going on. You joked about Jordy Nelson popping back in, and that's it. You've got a bunch of unhealthy wide receiving options. Jared Cook's snaps have dwindled, as if they're saying, well, we're going to play guys as we need to, but let's just wink at everybody about what we're doing.
And you don't throw downfield. I mean, that's it would be nice to open things up for a little bit if you're the Raiders.
But, exactly. Carr, scoreless, 3 of his last 5 games. Hasn't topped 250 since week 5. And then Andy Dalton. Why? Because we just have to take the stick to Andy Dalton. 4 straight multi-touchdown games to start the season. He's been hit or miss ever since. For the Cleveland Browns, 17 fantasy points a game allowed to opposing quarterbacks. Last 300-yard game for Andy Dalton came back in week 4.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This is Fox Football Fantasy. Those were your cold sores for week 12. Our first mystery man clue was he was an honorable mention All Big Ten selection in his only season in the conference. What is clue number two for our mystery man, a guy you got to play for week 12?
His 500 rushing yards as a member of his Big Ten team were the most that they'd put up since joining the conference.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
That kind of narrows it down
a
little bit.
I'm starting to look at it, and I'm like, okay, maybe it's a new member of the Big Ten. We'll see. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This is Fox Football Fantasy. Coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Still going to pay off that inside info that the Cincinnati Bengals may have on the Cleveland Browns. And why Tom Brady starting today for the New England Patriots may actually be a bad thing. We'll tell you next year on Fox Football Fantasy. Fox Football Fantasy here on Fox Sports Radio. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. Can you take it easy for a week in the National Football League? I know it's not, but Josh McCown starting for the Jets today. And the Jets have played the Patriots tough in the past, so maybe I shouldn't say this. But if Tom Brady does have a knee issue, if there is an illness, why not? Why not put Brian Hoyer in for a game? They're a double-digit favorite taking on the Jets today. You are getting Rob Gronkowski back. You are getting Sony Michel healthy. I don't know. Just maybe you want to save, you know, give Tom that 2 weeks off as you kind of head to the stretch run for the New England Patriots.
I like the way you think, Dan Beyer. As of now, Brady slated to start the game for the Patriots. Gronkowski coming back, starting to get that offense reconstituted and healthy again. Gronk, the big question and vexing for fantasy owners, to say the least. You knew you were always going to have the red injury tag next to his name, but then he actually started missing games. And now you're hopeful for the stretch run if you survived, because he would have been second, third, or fourth round pick, depending on how your league's configured. So now you look at the Patriots. It'll be a lot of Michelle, I think, and James White out of the backfield to do a two-man monster against the Jets and get things flowing. Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman, get him on, get him over, get him in. Those guys are both WR2s for this week. Gronk goes back to his usual top five for you as he's cleared. But for Brady, he's going to be a back-end top 10. But certainly I can argue seven or eight guys, I think, ahead of him pretty easily. And if you're not trusting the knee, you're not trusting the production of the last month, I can't say I blame you. But just there's always that possibility coming out of a bye week that it schemed perfectly against Josh McCown and the Jets, but we talk about the Raiders not having a wide receiver. Am I supposed to get excited about Robbie Anderson's return and whatever else you have? No.
Yeah.
There's really nothing there to excite you on the other side. Herndon as a deep streaming option at tight end, but the run game has been a three-headed attack that has been inconsistent at best, right? Isaiah Crowell had that one big game and disappeared as quickly as he came onto your scene. Elijah McGuire, people get hot on the waiver wire trying to pick that up, and that goes nowhere for you. So you're looking at New England defensively could be opportunistic in the secondary against McCown. And so suddenly you're setting up short fields.
Patriots and Jets kicking off at 1 o'clock Eastern time. Answer the Browns and Bengals. And this is the Hugh Jackson Bowl.
Yeah, buddy.
At least Hugh Jackson Bowl part one, is the former Browns head coach is on the Bengals sidelines. Here's my thought on this. I understand the right to work and the want to work. And if the Browns are going to let you go, that you should be able to go and work somewhere else. But there is also something about the, and I'll just use it because it's the roster number, the 53 guys that you were coaching, that I do believe they aren't the ones, and you could say they're the ones that got you fired, but they aren't the ones that got you fired. You were fired by whoever was in the hierarchy of the Cleveland Browns. There is something about going to the enemy and letting that, or giving that information to the team about the other 53 guys. To me, I know we see it with when teams will sign a player because they play that opponent that week or the next week. We've seen that before. I just think that this is different. Hugh Jackson was still getting paid by the Cleveland Browns. There was still a contract that was being honored, so it wasn't like he needed the money. I just feel that it is a betrayal to the 53 other guys that you coached, that you pretended to be the leader for, throughout mini camps and training camps and then preseason and then in the regular season game. I think it's an awful look. If you wanted to join a team, you know what? Join a team that doesn't play that team not once but twice. Just maybe they've already had him on the schedule or not on the schedule. That's been my issue. It's to the 53 players for the Cleveland Browns. And you brought up the point that there is maybe some talk that Hugh Jackson could be elevated to the head coach in Cincinnati if Marvin Lewis moves on. It's the only place in the NFL that he would get a head coaching job again is in Cincinnati, because there is no way that he was going to get a job after what happened in Cleveland. And now there is definitely no way he was going to get another job after doing this to the Browns players. There's my piece on Hugh Jackson.
Well, there was a lot made about how he was perceived by the players before he signed with Cincinnati in whatever bogus title they're putting that. He's an assistant coach.
Yeah.
Just call it what it is. He's a coach, but the way they've worked out the logistics and the semantics of it all, he gets to keep his paycheck from the Browns. The fact is, you've got a salty 53 over there for Hugh Jackson. I know he went on he was on Fox Sports 1. He was on ESPN. He did the rounds trying to say, look, wasn't me. Like, he went all shaggy. It's somebody else. You know, they didn't let me run my offense. You're a head coach. Run your damn offense. Haslam's not coming down and telling you what you need to run. He's too busy worried about his indictments and problems with his other businesses. So you've got an opportunity to clear your name, get out there, whatever you're trying to say. You also have to take ownership that you took checks as head coaches from two organizations in turmoil and chose bad jobs. If you were getting ready to be elevated to a head coaching job, you went to Oakland that was rudderless.
Mm-hmm.
And had an 8-8 season, which they'd kill for an 8-8 season, the Oakland Raider fans about now. But then you go to Cleveland. I hate Mount Rushmore Radio more than anything in the world, Dan, whenever we do those things. But I'm going to call it what it is. We got Cleveland. You got Oakland. You got Cincinnati. They've been better. They've been playoff bound. But they can't get over. They can't win in prime time, and they can't win a playoff game. And you have the Detroit Lions. That would be your Mount Rushmore of dysfunctional teams, probably, right?
Yeah.
We might be able to argue that the Bengals are out just for making the playoffs often. But Hugh Jackson chose those destinations as well and signed those deals. Might not have had other offers. But right now, I don't know how much of a factor he is in this game. I'll take Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, and 53 ticked-off guys against him and a Bengals team that can't get out of its own way. Joe Mixon calling out his coaching staff this week, saying we got to stop playing to lose and actually start playing to win. You got Demarius Randle, the worst guarantee ever for the Browns, saying, hey, if A.J. Green doesn't play, we win. But they're banged up. You're missing Eifert. You're missing Green. You're missing Croft. You're missing all these guys. And Andy Dalton is just a guy.
By the way, the A.J. Green situation is worth noting, because last week they sure made an effort, Cincinnati did, to try to make you think that he was going to play.
Mm-hmm.
How close was he really if he's not playing this week, which he's doubtful to because of his toe injury? Like, he's not going to play today. But what is going? Is this gamesmanship because it's an AFC North showdown? But I don't know. Seems a bit reckless, if you will, for me.
Yeah, I mean, for the Bengals, they're still sitting at the wishing, wanting, hoping at a playoff berth, right? At a wild card berth, sitting at 5-5. I don't think anybody believes they're any good, but you've got some individual players that are curious. I mean, Joe Mixon, potential for a big day here because he catches the ball out of the backfield as well, and that's where maybe as a runner he'll have some success in a total yardage type of perspective. But when you look at it overall for Cincinnati, you got these two divisional matchups still on the slate and still trying to push, but it's just a team that I don't – after 10 weeks, I don't know what their identity is supposed to be. And the A.J. Green injury originally was talking surgery, season ending, all of this. And then all of a sudden, the push. And I think maybe it's the sell hope to fans because they're saying, here we go again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It seems like a mess to me, but you could see that mess at 1 o'clock Eastern time as the Bengals are home to the Cleveland
Nicely
Browns
done.
Today. We do have a tweet from the Lonesome Kicker. Tweets in, follows us. Mike at Swollen Dome. I'm at Dan Byer on Fox. PPR needs three of these four, has Joe Mixon, but also Philip Lindsay, Aaron Jones, and Melvin Gordon, who's expected to go for the Chargers today against the Cardinals.
I'm taking Mixon, Jones, and Gordon. We'll leave Lindsay to the wayside. Hope for that early score out of Gordon. I'm afraid we're going to see a lot more of Austin Eckler as this game goes on. So keep an eye on him. PPR leagues and certainly for daily leagues might be a play for you as well.
You know, and we're doing work. We got work behind the scenes. There's an Ian Rappaport report saying that Bruce Arians said to him that the only job he would come back with is the Cleveland Browns. Here's the thing. Bruce Arians said that a month ago to the newspaper in Canton, Ohio.
Yep.
Yeah, so this is what I call old news. This is old news. So when you see that, give credit to the newspaper. I think it was the Canton Repository that actually had it when Bruce Arians did a game of the Browns. It was about a month ago.
That's
I think
about right. Yeah, you can check out the podcast of that whole evaluation. Jason Smith and I on iTunes, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. We actually talked to Jay Glazer quite a bit about that report as well, going all the way back November 5th. Gavin Kinsel in my ear telling me. Fox Football Fantasy brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. You can switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
We reveal the mystery man for week 12 in the National Football League. Plus, I'll give you the rivalry that will dominate the AFC over the next 10 years. That after Isaac Lowenkron gives us the latest of what's happening in the NFL. Hello, Isaac.
Hello, Dan and Michael. The San Francisco 49ers announced this morning that they are releasing linebacker Reuben Foster after he was arrested overnight at the team hotel in Tampa, Florida on a first-degree misdemeanor domestic violence charge. The Athletic reports that a judge set bond for Foster at $2,000 and ordered no contact with the victim, who was identified in court as the same woman associated with Foster's previous domestic violence arrest in April. In college football Saturday night, Texas A&M and 7th-ranked LSU were tied at 72 in septuple overtime. Here's Andrew Monaco with the finish on Learfield.
The snap to Kellen. Kellen rolls to his right. Kellen stops, fires back over the middle. Tie and the conversion. Kendrick Rogers and the Aggies win 74-72 in 7 OTs. Here's your rivalry.
Elsewhere, number 3 Notre Dame wanted USC 24-17 to go to 12-0. Finally, Dan and Michael, believe it or not, we actually have a new development from Ohio State's 62-39 win over Michigan yesterday. You ready for this? The official score has just announced that Paris Campbell's 78-yard touchdown run early in the fourth quarter for the Buckeyes was technically a pop pass and not a handoff. So that means that Ohio State quarterback Dwayne Haskins, instead of throwing for 318 yards with 5 touchdown passes, officially finishes with 6 touchdown passes and 396 passing yards.
That's fraudulent to me.
Happy Thanksgiving, Dwayne.
Yeah, that is.
That's fraudulent.
Paris Campbell, you do 99.9% of the work. And I'm just going to pop this to you. Pop passes, those, I'm sorry, they should, I know it's a forward pass, but aren't we to the point now with stats that we can decipher what is actually a real pass and what is just deciphered as a hold, a handoff, if you will? I know the pop pass is safer because if there is a mishandling, it's just an incomplete pass. I get all that, but to have it be a forward pass, I don't know.
I hate it. Yeah. I loathe it, right? The guy coming on the jet sweep and you just push it in front as he runs. But it irks me to no end. That's not a passing touchdown. It's not a passing yardage. He gets the run and the yak. This is
a
joke.
It's also tricky in college football when you're talking about records and you're doing different things. The record aspect of what you have with previous eras when there weren't games and bowl games are now being counted. It's all convoluted and a mess anyway. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This is Fox Football Fantasy, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Dolphins get Ryan Tannehill back today as they take on the Colts. It's going to be a later kickoff, 425 Eastern time from Indianapolis between the two squads. But Danny Amendola, Devontae Parker dinged up. Don't know if Tannehill will have them. Kenyon Drake was limited in practice but wasn't on the injury report. He should go. But it's Colts and Dolphins today in Indianapolis, with the Colts about a 10-point favorite in that contest.
Get yourself excited with a little Andrew Luck, number two on the board behind Drew Brees for your fantasy purposes. Just dominant the stat sheet time and time again. That offensive line doing a fantastic job. Marlon Mack, one of our hot plays for the week. T.Y. Hilton back as a high-end number two for this particular affair. One thing to be note that Miami is opportunistic, 15 interceptions on the year. So this is one where the stat line might even out a little bit in those, you know, big categories, the touchdown and interceptions for you. But you're looking at opportunity, and Eric Ebron with his 10 touchdowns look maybe to add another to that. On the other side from Miami, there's not a single guy that I would recommend playing. I mean, just on that offense at all. I mean, Frank Gore and Drake, too much of a workload split. You mentioned all those injuries at the wide receiving position. It's one to just leave that alone. One of the 32 teams that we will not be endorsing for fantasy purposes. You want to be in desperation mode and say, hey, Tannehill, the fact that they cleared him is enough to warrant some sort of optimism. I say good luck finding the needle in the haystack as to who he threw it to.
Gavin, mark this down, because in 2028, we're going to check this out. Over the next 10 years, Colts-Chiefs is going to be the best rivalry in the AFC. When you look at all the quarterbacks that are moving on, and I know there was a report that the Chargers want to keep Phillip Rivers as long as he wants to be around.
But he's going
to
be slinging it underhand, Dan.
You're going to have Tom Brady moving on into the sunset. You're going to have Ben Roethlisberger retiring at some point from Pittsburgh. You've now got Andrew Luck, who we think is fully back. You've got a Colts team that is being built the correct way from the inside out, and we're talking about offensive line and defensive lines. Now you've got something in Indianapolis. As long as Andy Reid stays around with the Kansas City Chiefs, Colts Chiefs is going to be Colts Patriots that we saw for so long. I think Andrew Luck and Patrick Mahomes are going to be head-to-head for the next 10 years in showdowns of the AFC playoffs.
Just excited to see the offensive line stand up. But look, I've been critical of the past of Andrew Luck, and there was always the caveat of they couldn't find five guys to stand next to each other long enough for a picture, let alone to keep him upright. And now this year, finally drafted well. They've stayed healthy. You look at what they've done. I mean, you could argue, other than stat purposes, you've got rookie of the year candidates on that offensive line, right? When you look at what's gone, and going back to the last year's draft, when you didn't know what Andrew Luck was going to be, as much as you needed offensive line protection, seemed like it was a spot drafting that high that in the quarterback class that guy should have been selected. Right now, Colts looking pretty good, in at least in the way the Ballard era of evaluating talent, where they were, and keeping Luck's health a secret. Even though he didn't push the ball downfield early on, you look at the last 4 or 5 weeks, they've been fantastic.
Colts have been looking good. Mike Harmon sounding good as we bring you Mike Harmon's greatest hits from Week 11.
Let's get it on. Let's go with an unfamiliar name on the hot plays list. Dak Prescott, a matchup against those Atlanta Falcons, giving up 20 fantasy points per game over the last four. You look at Dak Prescott accounting for multiple touchdowns in four straight games, rushing touchdowns in three of four. They count just the same. In fact, in a lot of leagues, they give you an extra deuce.
In the gun, Prescott back to his left. Read option, he keeps it to the goal line. Bangs it in. Touchdown, Prescott. Cowboys lead again.
Larry Fitzgerald against the Oakland Raiders. 14 catches on 22 targets the last two games. He scored two of the last 3 weeks. I know the yardage total, disappointing. He's only gone over 50 receiving yards twice. But it's the Raiders.
Two tight ends in the game. Play fake. Rosen bootlegged to the near side. Throws near side defense. He caught it at the goal line and is in. Touchdown. Second touchdown today for Larry Fitzgerald.
We look at Matthew Stafford going against those Carolina Panthers. Multiple touchdowns all but 2 weeks on the year. Yes, the yardage has been wildly inconsistent, and there's no Marvin Jones. But Theo Riddick picking up nicely after the trade of Golden Tate.
Matthew's got it. Blitz comes. They pick it up. Stafford throws. It is end zone. Caught! Oh, baby, what a catch! Kenny Galladay, you're a freak! What a catch! Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
Those were Mike Harmon's greatest hits from Week 11. of the National Football League. Let's reveal it now. Let's reveal the mystery man for Week 12. Couple of clues. Just gave two of them today. Honorable mention, all Big Ten in his only season with the school, and his 500 rushing yards that season were the most in the school's history in that conference. Our mystery man reveal is...
Gus Edwards.
Gus!
Yeah, hop on the bus, Gus. Big Ten, Rutgers joining in 2014. You're looking at a early work from Edwards was at Miami, where he averaged 5.3 yards per carry. A big guy, but still runs a 4.5 40. And Alex Collins has been so wildly inconsistent over the course of the year. He's one of those sleepers coming in. He failed. Edwards now gets the run as Baltimore tries to push towards the playoffs.
Mystery man.
Good job to Eek, who guessed the mystery man. E-E-K. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly.
You got it. I also say Eek because if I was that bad that Matthew Stafford ended up being one of the victories of last week, I didn't have a good week.
Hey, well, I will say this. Jive Turkey wants to know a Gus Edwards question.
Yeah, buddy.
Pick up Gus Edwards for Devin Funchess.
Yes.
He's not going to go. And Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Yeah, Gus Edwards would far and away be the best play out of those options. MVS, I'm not trusting him against that Minnesota secondary. That's why I'm down on Aaron Rodgers this week.
And final one, Jay Baker tweets in. It's the Chargers taking on the Cardinals in L.A. It's really about Melvin Gordon status. He talked a little bit about Phillip Rivers earlier, but Gordon going to try to give it a go with his hamstring and knee injuries. Should he start Gordon or maybe go with Philip Lindsay as the Broncos take on the Steelers?
Yeah, Lindsay, one of those guys, you're talking about his touch count, then you're getting a guarantee, right? He's going to get to that 12 to 15. Just a matter of how well and effective he's going to play because you're looking at a Steelers team that's top 10 against opposing runners. Gordon right now is slated to go. I'll run him until they have a big lead, and then I'm sure you're going to see a lot of Eckler mixed therein. But I'll take Gordon for at least a rushing touchdown before he sits.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This is Fox Football Fantasy, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. From MVS to MVPs, that's next on Fox Football Fantasy. Fox Football Fantasy here on Fox Sports Radio. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. Quick note from college football. Larry Fedora out as North Carolina's head football coach.
It's a good
name.
Not
a surprise. No one showed up to yesterday's game against NC State. When you win a couple of games, it's likely going to happen.
So he and Kingsbury, your first two names to put on the board as the regular season comes to an end.
Speaking of the regular season, they'll now have more time to spend with their family, Larry Fedora. Well, as we get our family together, too. Play the feud. Mike Harmon, Gavin Kinzel, Sam Kinsley, and Isaac Lohenkron make up the Fox family. Top nine answers on the board, guys. A lot of talk about Drew Brees and the NFL MVP this week. But I want to know, who are the nine players dating back to 1957 that have won multiple Associated Press MVP awards? So a multi-winner of the most valuable player honor in the National Football League given out by the Associated Press. Mike Harmon, we start with you.
Brett Favre.
Oh, yes. During his time in Green Bay, in fact, I knew a guy who had personalized plates that said Favre 3X MVP. Or no, it was 4-3X MVP. Show me Brett Favre. There'll be a lot of letters on the license plate. There it is, Brett Favre.
Let's go
over to Gavin Kinzel. For answer number two.
I will take another easy one. Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. Hey, he's the GOAT of this. Show me Peyton Manning. Yes, the Colts, a five-time winner of the NFL's Most Valuable Player honor. Over to Sam Kinsley.
Before I answer, I would like to give a shout-out to the Minnesota Golden Gophers, who ended their 15-game losing streak against Wisconsin. They routed the Badgers on Saturday.
What
the hell's that got to do with that?
Yeah, I thought you hate both of those schools, wouldn't you?
They haven't beaten Wisconsin. They have a longer win streak against Wisconsin than my Iowa Hawkeyes do.
Row the boat.
Yeah, row the boat there. They got bowl eligible, too. I am going to say Joe Montana.
Joe Montana. You know, he is no ordinary Joe. That's because he's got a couple of MVPs. That is right. Over to Isaac Lohenkron, 3-for-3 so far.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, you know, little tomfoolery here and there as we work the puns. but he fooled around and got three MVPs during his NFL career. Back over to Mike Harmon as we are 4-for-4.
Love it. Reminder, Fox Football Fantasy brought to you by Discover Card. Get your free credit scorecard today, even if you're not a Discover customer. It includes your FICO credit score, and checking your scorecard won't hurt your credit. Learn more at discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations do apply. Part of me wants to take Terrell Davis and go with the outlier.
Ooh.
I don't know if he did it twice, though.
Show
I'm
going
to go Terrell Davis.
TD. Did not win multiple MVPs. Our first strike is up. We do have a pass available as we go to Gavin Kinzel.
My last available on my board is Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, Brett Favre's got three MVPs. How many does Aaron Rodgers have? He's got two. He is on the list. A two-time winner of the award. I hope you can figure it out. Let's go to Sam Kinsley.
Let's try Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders, great years with the Lions. Were they MVP caliber years? No, you did not get it correct. Let's go to Isaac Lowenkron.
Wait a minute.
Two strikes on the board.
When did this first start again? What year?
1957.
Dan, I know you too well. You just gave me a clue. You people have to listen very closely because Beyer is very, very
clever. What do you
clever.
Mean, you people?
Pending me getting this right, is it Johnny Unitas?
Show me Johnny Unitas.
Oh. Nice.
Nice.
I warned you guys.
Pulled the rabbit out of his head there.
I warned you guys. That's for sure. We aren't getting any younger. Let's go over to Mike Harmon.
Greatest show on turf, Kurt Warner.
Show me Kurt Warner. I warned you guys. I warned you guys twice.
I didn't even notice that one.
Yeah, we got to hurry. We aren't getting any younger. Let's go over to Gavin Kinzel.
I'm going to pass here.
Oh. No! He's giving you a clue!
Oh, you got Jim.
Steve Young.
Steve Young. He lobbed it up for the dunk. Right.
I got it.
Steve Young. All right. Show me Steve Young. All right. And I gave the first name of our final answer. It's up to Sam if he heard me.
I didn't hear it.
Oh, you didn't hear it.
Tony Dorsett.
Tony Dorsett for all the marbles. The Dallas Cowboys running back.
Don't we have a strike still? No.
Show me. We have no strikes available.
No, it's a final.
Show me Tony Dorsett. Oh, Jim Brown.
Jim Brown.
Jim Brown.
Three,